Took me a while to figure out what to do for this 30-minute message, or this short message, honestly. But I, with everything that's going on in this country, I ultimately came down with this one. What was once a country of peace and brotherhood is now divided. What was once a country founded upon the word of Yahweh is now tearing out those foundations. A country that all once looked at as a nation of morality has now fallen into moral decay. What happened? Why is this country collapsing? Why is it morally dead? In this message, I will seek to answer these questions, and that's why it's named the Once Great Nation Now Under Judgment. This nation was once a light in this world. I believe everybody here would believe that at one point in time, that this nation was once the light of the world. That everyone, even today, some people still seek to come over here, but it's not as it once was. I think even other countries would recognize that we're not as morally upright as we once were. Though not perfect, this country did at one time have a moral decency and a sense of moral uprightness. This country was founded on the principles of the Bible and the morality within. Now when you go outside, you see every sin you can think of. Murder, rape, incest, homosexuality. Pedophilia is even now being propagated as being okay. And pornography and abortion. Well, abortion I would list under murder. But this list goes on and on. While some are not necessarily tolerated, in which what I have listed here, such in rape and murder, except in the scenario of abortion, that's murder that's for some reason allowed, they are still happening in mass numbers. Something is wrong in this country, and it is only getting worse. Today we see the fruits of the sins of this country. This year, many things have hit this country which we had not expected. We've been hit pretty hard with a lot of things. The COVID-19 virus has killed upwards of 100,000 people. 200,000, I think, was one of the most recent statistics. Mass crops were thrown out at the beginning of that because they didn't have the farmers, I think. Was it the farmers that they couldn't have the, or they just couldn't, for some reason, get the food out. So they threw out mass amounts of food, which, honestly, in my opinion, could have been given to the poor and to the needy. But rather than lose money and not get and help the people who are poor, they decided to throw them into a ditch and bury them. So kind of sad loss of food there. The economy was hit hard. Millions lost their jobs. And if things didn't get worse from that point, we had mass rioting and looting all of a sudden hit this country. A topic that probably shouldn't have been turned political was turned political, in my opinion. The biggest fire in history, I don't know if it's still burning or not, in California, was burning. But at least up to record, it was the biggest fire, wildfire that they recorded. It's left, I think, thousands homeless. I think a lot of homes were burned down with it. And all this, I believe, is a wake-up call from Yahweh. I believe everybody here would agree with that statement. Someone might say that some of the disasters you mentioned are caused by men, not Yahweh. And while this is true, Yahweh sometimes uses men to wake people up. As we see that with the Babylonian invasion, when they came and took Judah out of the land. That was a punishment from Yahweh, but he used men to bring forth that punishment. Yahweh often in Scripture uses people to exact judgment on his behalf. Now, even if this wasn't the case, it doesn't let to take away from this message. All of this, massive natural disasters, men rioting and looting, murder, etc., is all caused by a lack of morality and forsaking the word of Yahweh. Yahweh says in his word that blessings come from obedience to his law, but disobedience brings curses. I find it funny, everybody in this world would think the opposite's true. They think, if I can do it my way, I'll be happy. But that never works out. I also find it ironic that the people who rich people, oh, they got all this money, they think they're going to be happy, but they're never content with what they have. They're always spending it on things they don't need, or they just doesn't please them, and they want more, and they don't need more. At this point, we can open up to Deuteronomy chapter 28, because I'm going to read that chapter of Deuteronomy, because it has to do with this message. Technically, I have it open here, but I need to open it with you guys. All right. Okay. And this one I took and pasted on this is from the New American Standard Bible, but of course I replaced God and Lord with the proper terms. So, okay. And if you faithfully obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, Yahweh your Elohim will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And it goes back to what we were saying, I was just saying a minute ago. They think the blessings come from their own personal desires, but Yahweh says it comes from obedience. Yeah. If we expect to make it anywhere in this world, we need to put him first. Goes back to what Yahshua said. Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahweh will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will command a blessing on you and your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that Yahweh your Elohim is giving you. Yahweh will establish you as a people holy to himself. As he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of you, and Yahweh will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that Yahweh swore to your fathers to give you. I'm going to pause here a second. Something comes to my mind that a lot of people don't understand. I mean, I'm sure everyone here does, but I think a lot of it, especially the nominal Christian world, doesn't understand this. The whole point of the blessings that come from the commandments of Yahweh is not just for your happiness and everything, it's also for you to be a light to the other people. People are going to see you being blessed. This was the whole point of Israel. Israel was supposed to be a peculiar nation, a nation that was blessed by Yahweh, obedient to him. People would see Israel being blessed and they'd be like, huh, I wonder what they're doing. Why are they getting blessed? And why am I here not blessed? That would make people want to come to Yahweh. It's something to draw them in. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. The blessings in this should draw us in. I just wouldn't add that. Where was I again, Elder John?
Verse 12.
So I'll just go ahead and read from here then. Last one, please. Yahweh shall open unto you that his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain in your land in his season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. And Yahweh shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and you shall not be beneath. If you hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other mighty ones to serve them. I think I did that backwards. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh Elohim to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. I'm going to point something out that I think a lot of people notice. It's ironic. There's more curses to know our blessings, about twice as many, maybe even three times. It's only up till the verses of 15 that there are blessings. And then all the way to the end of chapter 28, which is 68 verses, are curses. So that's a lot of curses compared to... And I think that's to show that if you weigh the options, are the curses really worth doing what you're doing that you're not supposed to be doing? It's, I think that's the whole thing here. He's trying to get you to think, for the most part. It says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be the your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land. The increase of your kine and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you go in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. I should say come in, my bad. Yahweh shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that you set your hand unto for to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto you, until you have he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess. Yahweh shall smite you with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. You know, you got some people already who believe there's a brass dome over this earth. I'm sorry, I just thought they put that in there. So I guess their authority, or I guess their heaven is already brass in their mindset, but this takes it to a whole other level. And the earth that is under you shall be iron. Yahweh shall make the rain of your land powder and dust from heaven, and it shall come down upon you until you be destroyed. Yahweh shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways. So basically the reverse is from before, is the blessing. Before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Yahweh will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scabs, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. That means it doesn't care how good of a doctor you got, it's not going to get cured. No. Yahweh shall smite you with the madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. No man shall save you. You shall betroth the wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which you know not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed always, so that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. Yahweh shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of your foot unto the top of your head. That reminds me of Job. He was righteous, so I mean, his wasn't from a disobedience. His was from Satan, basically. Yahweh shall bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other mighty ones, wood and stone. And that happened with the Assyrian exile and with the exile to Judah for Israel, but it still can apply to us as a nation. I had a friend recently, just entered into the military, and he honestly believed that nothing can defeat this country. And I had a conversation with him one day, and I told him, if Yahweh's removed his protection from this country, I don't care if it's one person against our entire army, that one person can win. And he didn't seem to get it. But if Yahweh, we read it here, I mean, how many times has Yahweh caused a nation to be smitten from before Israel and when Israel was few in number? Take Gideon and the 300, for example, against, I think it was probably about 300,000 Midianites. I think it was Midian. I can't remember. But nonetheless, that's the real 300. Ignore the 300 that happened in Sparta. But anyway. Okay, verse 37. And you shall become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations whither Yahweh shall lead you. You shall carry much seed out in the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coasts, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your olives shall cast his fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All your trees and fruit of your land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you, and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. And I think that's another thing that people don't know. Notice, I mean, they don't really seem to think about when they commit a willful disobedient act against Yahweh or when they sin. That's not just going to affect you. It's going to carry it on down through the generations. I think they call it generational curses. He says in Exodus, he will visit the iniquity upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate him. And that's usually because the sin that the father does, the son not only does, but he does it worse than his father. And we see that off throughout all the kings of Israel. Usually he got worse rather than better. Judah was different. They occasionally had a few kings that actually turned things around. Didn't last long, though, usually. But, oh well. Praise Yahweh. I think I was in, yep. 48, yeah, thank you. Therefore shall you serve your enemies, which Yahweh shall send against you in hunger and in thirst, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And ye shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave you either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of the kind or flocks of the sheep until he has destroyed you. And he shall besiege you in all your gates until the high and fenced walls come down wherein you trusted. Throughout all your land, and he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which Yahweh your Elohim has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which Yahweh your Elohim has given you in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall distress you, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall lead, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall distress you and in all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for the delicateness and tenderness of her eye, shall be evil toward her husband, but toward the husband of her bosom, my bad, and toward her son and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out of between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you in your gates. You know, that actually happened in Jeremiah, in the time of Jeremiah, in the time of Judah. So it's Yahweh's serious when he says these things. He doesn't want us to go through these things. He knows what will occur if sin continues to increase. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh your Elohim, then Yahweh will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your city even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will Yahweh bring upon you until you be destroyed. And I think we might be seeing that right now in this country with this COVID. We might be seeing Yahweh bringing a disease possibly to wake us up upon this country. And upon the whole world, actually, because it's not just this country only. But this country has had, I think, the most deaths from it. So, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And it shall come to pass that as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Yahweh will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither you go to possess it. And Yahweh shall scatter you among all the people from one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there you shall serve other mighty ones, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but Yahweh shall give you there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, if only it was even, and at even you shall say, if only it were morning. For the fear of your heart wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto you. You shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondmen and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you. That's chapter 28 of... Okay. So that was chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Okay. The scripture makes it clear that obedience to Yahweh's law brings blessings, but disobedience brings curses. So what is happening now, not in this country only, but around the world, with all these major disasters, could likely be a sign or judgment from Yahweh telling us to repent of our sins and follow him. And if that's the case, we need to repent sooner rather than later, because Yahweh promises only to increase the punishment for disobedience. And so now, I'm not going to pause in the middle of this one because I'm conscious of my time. Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to read starting verse 14 and read through verse 39. So I'll wait till everyone gets there. All right. But if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, if you spurn my statutes, and if your soul abhors my rules, so that you will not do all, hold on one second, my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic and with a wasting disease and a fever that consume the eyes and make the heart ache. There's disease again. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if in spite of this you will not listen to me, then I will discipline you again sevenfold for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. You know, I can't think of any nation in the world more prideful of their power than this country. They boast in their own, this country boasts in its power rather than boasting in the one whom they should be trusting. Okay, one second. Oh, okay, there it is. Okay. And I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, I will continue striking you sevenfold for your sins. You see, it only gets worse. He just keeps saying sevenfold more, sevenfold more. So honestly, I fear what may happen in this country if people don't start repenting. Because This could just be the tip of the iceberg. And I will let loose the wild beasts against you, which shall bereave you of your children and destroy your livestock and make you few in number, so that your road shall be deserted. And if by this discipline you are not turned to me but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute vengeance for the covenant. And if you gather within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. When I break your supply of bread, 10 women shall break your bread in a single oven and shall dole out your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. But if in spite of this you will not listen to me but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in fury. So he's getting angry at this point in this description, even angrier. And I will myself will discipline you sevenfold for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons and shall eat the flesh of your daughters. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and cast your dead bodies upon the dead places. And cut down your incense altars. Oh, I already read that. The dead bodies of your idols. My bad. Messed up there. And my soul will abhor you. And I will lay your cities waste and will make your sanctuaries desolate. And I will not smell your pleasing aromas, and I myself will devastate the land, so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled at it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and I will unsheathe the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your cities shall be a waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate. Ironically, in this country, nobody obeys the land Sabbath. I wonder how that makes our Father in heaven feel. There's a few that do it, but as a whole, this country doesn't even think twice about the land Sabbath, which is sad. Really is sad. And I think they've discovered that the soil is depleted. Eventually, all these things that they're using, these chemicals that they use to make the land grow its crops against the land's will, honestly, against its ability, even those will become ineffective eventually. And then you won't have any crops at all. It'll be a famine in this land eventually at this rate. While you are in your enemy's land, then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate. It shall have rest, the rest that it did not have on your Sabbaths when you were dwelling in it. And as for you, those of you who are left, I will send faintness into the hearts in the lands of your enemy, their enemies. The sound of a driven leaf shall put them to flight, and they shall flee as one flees from the sword. And they shall fall when none pursues. Graceful much. They shall stumble over one another, as if to escape a sword, though none pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall rot away in your enemy's land, because of their iniquity, and also because of the iniquities of their fathers, they shall rot away like them. As you can see, the scripture tells us that it will only get worse and not better if we continue to rebel against Yahweh, even to the point where Yahweh will remove an entire nation. And I know that would definitely hurt. Okay, Proverbs 14:34 says this: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's too bad this country and all the countries of the world today do not see that. Instead, they've somehow flipped it. It's as Isaiah says. They have called bitter sweet and sweet bitter. They've exchanged, I can't remember what that was. Yeah. But the point is that should be called bad is now called good. What should be called good is now called bad. We see that today with the pride marches and the LGBT community, where they are saying that it's good to allow that stuff and yet calling us bad for speaking against it in Yahweh's word. And in my honest understanding, the worst thing about that is not necessarily the fact that they are committing that sin or for that sin, and that it's more so the homosexual thing. The thing that is more disturbing about that to me is that they're prideful. They're proud of the sin that they commit. And that's even worse than the sin that they're proud of committing, is to be proud of the sin that you're committing. That's a whole nother level. Pride comes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. We need to repent as a country. While it might be too late for the United States as a whole, Yahweh knows whether there is hope or not. I hope there is, but only He knows. Individuals can still repent and be spared of the coming wrath by obeying Yahweh and seeking Him with all their hearts. And with this, and I will finish this message with a quote from John Adams, the second president of the United States. You know, we got people today saying that the founding fathers were not believers in the Bible. They didn't actually build this country upon the founding principles of this work. But obviously, some did, at least. And I think most of them did. This is what he had to say. I'm going to read the quote as it is, so I don't need anybody going, Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. It's taken from the Diary and Autobiography of John Adams, Volume 3, page 9. That is the message. My hopes is that anyone who hears this, who is not yet of the flock of Yahweh, will recognize what's going on and repent and be saved.